Welcome to the Rising Tide Leadership Podcast, where each week we simplify the complexities of your leadership journey.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Rising Tide Leadership Podcast, where we aim to give you critical and easily applicable leadership concepts to help you along your journey. I'm your co-host, Scott, and I have the privilege of talking life and leadership with the owner and founder of Rising Tide Leadership, Dr. Michael David Morales, a.k.a. Mo.
Hey, what's up, Scotty? Man, I love that intro every time, brother. It never gets old, so let's talk leadership.
I'm glad it never gets old because it never changes. I got a great leadoff for us today. I got to pull this one out of the vault here. So for my very first ever job when I was 15 years old, I started working for a catering company in my hometown that my sister had been working for. I was young and it was my first job that paid, at that time, it paid $10 an hour, which was an absolutely amazing amount of money for a 15-year-old.
Man, you were rich.
I was. So I can't imagine what it pays now. So, but one of the perks was that I additionally into that pay, I also worked only one or two events on the weekends, and that would enable me to make enough money for whatever a 15-year-old bought back in those days. So I don't even remember. But when I initially started working that job, I worked it again because it was a good fit and it provided me with financial means. And as each year went by, though, I found myself returning to work events for this company time and time again. And it really wasn't until years later and after I'd started kind of my leadership journey that I realized the reason that I enjoyed working for this company and working so many events is because the leadership at the helm of the company was a pleasure to work for. In addition, with every year that I worked, I was given more and more responsibility, which was an opportunity for me to work on my leadership skills. So even to this day, that job is really one of my favorites that I've held. I'm still really great friends with the owner and CEO of the company, and even sometimes get asked to come back and work events if they're in need of extra help. Which ultimately to me really signifies that they appreciated the work that I did and that I put in and value me as an individual and a team member. So that being my first job that really helped me realize different qualities in a workplace that are important to me and help shape my career path into what it is today. Huh. And so with that being said, our topic for today is leaders attract the best, and focusing on really how leaders can adapt to the changing landscape of remote and flexible work environments. And so to start things off, Mo, I've been hearing the term a lot lately. A career nomad. It's kind of coming out of nowhere, but I've been hearing it so much, I feel like. So why is this term gaining so much attention in the business world?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, really the rise of the career nomad, as you just said, is really, it's a result of people just, it's the trend of remote work, and it's really accelerated right back in 2020 with COVID during the pandemic. And so now professionals really, they have the freedom to work anywhere. And that's what we learned during the pandemic. And I think that's one of the things that was helpful for us to learn as we came out of that. And it really reshaped our understanding of work and work-life balance and productivity as a whole.
Yeah, 100%. But even with all that kind of being said, you still hear about companies and or CEOs or bosses that are really pushing to bring employees back into the office, or, you know, to put in quotes here, get back to normal. So what do you really think about that? And what advice do you have for leaders that are navigating this shift?
Yeah, I think, you know, that actually really brings us to our first point today, Scott, which is remote work is here to stay. And so for the bosses out there, you're probably not going to want to hear this, but I mean, remote work is here to stay. Now, if your boss is working and he or she is in the office 5 days a week, you should probably be in the office 5 days a week or 4 days a week, 3 days, whatever it is. But even so, we're realizing that some jobs, they don't need to be there for 5 days. Now, you can be there, and there's studies that are being done, and actually, we haven't had enough time since, you know, like again, back to 2020 for us to see people and how they do when they're remote as opposed to in the office. But Nevertheless, Scott, remote work is here to stay. And so leaders, you need to recognize that remote work is going to be a significant portion of the workforce going forth. And so if you want to attract and retain the best talent, organizations really need to invest in technology. They need to foster open communication, and they need to create a work culture that values flexibility. There's that word, Scott, flexibility. Leaders are always called to be flexible. In fact, one of my mentors once told me, "Blessed are the flexible, for they will not be broken." So leaders, learn to adapt and provide tools and support for remote work and let people thrive in this new environment. And so, Scott, how many of us would have, you know, ever thought that we wouldn't go to work 5 days a week? I mean, isn't that crazy? But that's where we are, right? In fact, I remember reading a book, and I think I even told you about this book. I'm not sure if you've read it or not yet, but you should if you haven't, and so should our listeners. But it's called The 4-Hour Workweek. And it's by a guy named Tim Ferriss, and he actually wrote it several years ago. And what's crazy is that so many of the topics that Tim talks about in this book are really significant for today. And he was really ahead of his time. The book discusses making yourself valuable in a world where so many people waste time. And so we really found out during when people had to start working remote, again, back during the pandemic, that, well, we had to be productive. And really, Scott, we had to put trust in one another. And so, Scott, have you ever seen the movie Office Space?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Okay. So you know exactly what I'm saying now. Now, if our listeners out there have not seen Office Space, right, Scott, they got to go see it like yesterday. Okay.
100%.
Yeah. And so remember when Peter is talking to the Bobs in his interview and they're trying to figure out who matters at the company. They're trying to right size or downsize or whatever they're calling it back in the 90s. But these guys, they were the experts to bring and find out for the company, man, where are we should we be putting our time and our resources and how are they being used, whatever. But when Peter gets pulled in, Peter's at a place in his life and he doesn't care pretty much. And the Bobs ask him all these questions about work and Peter just decides to be straight up. And the Bobs say, "Hey, Peter, what is it that you do here?" And Peter says, "You know what? In a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work." And these guys are right. They're totally flabbergasted, and they're like, "What?" And Peter's like, "Yeah." So he goes along and he tells them about how he just tries to stay away from his bosses and look like he's productive, and then take a long coffee break, and you know, slip in late and slip out early, all that stuff. But I mean, what a great quote, right? And it might sound funny, but really, there's people out there, leaders. There are people out there, and if you're a bad leader, people are just trying to look like they're working. And you know what? It's not their fault. And so what I'm getting at is this. It's not about punching a time clock. Leaders, anybody can punch a time clock. And people are going to start moving away from your companies. What they need is your help, leaders. They need your help with not just getting stuff done, but that you need to learn how to trust people and not breathe down their back. So think about it. If you give team members flexibility to do what they need to do, they're probably going to get a lot more done. And you might ask the question and say the same, you know, questions that a lot of executives ask me, which is, yeah, but, you know, what do I do with the people when they start abusing that privilege because I'm giving them so much autonomy? And my question back, Scott, always to those leaders is always the same, which is, well, why would you want to have those kind of people on your team? So if there are those kind of people that are out there and you have them and you have to micromanage people to get things done, well, then there's really a couple things going on. First, they're probably not good workers and you don't want them on your team anyway. But two, and most importantly, Scott, you're not the leader that you think you are. If you breed a culture of people who are trying to skirt work and not get things done, it says more about you as the leader than it does about them as the employees. Okay, it's not right, Scott. There, what does Jocko say? He says, "There are no bad teams. There are only
bad leaders."
That's right. There are no bad teams. There are only bad leaders. So that's my nice way, Scott, of saying be better at leadership. Give your people a reason to be there and give them, Scott, a reason to be a part of your team.
Yeah, I feel like that's such a critical point to make there, that idea of it's more than just punching a clock. So I know so many different workplaces, and I know so many individuals that just really concentrate on punching that clock, making right. sure that they are there for what they deem is an adequate amount of time, or they want to be yep. seen as being there for an adequate amount of time. So I know quite a few individuals like that. So, but let's press forward then to our kind of our second point of today. So from the employee standpoint, it almost seems like there's a resistance to full-time office work. So I know I don't have a lot of social media, but I am pretty active on LinkedIn. And every morning I enjoy reading my daily rundown, and it constantly, I mean, I kid you not, it's probably 3 or 4 times a week features an article about some business and its return to office. So many professionals, I feel like, don't actually see themselves returning to the office full time. So then how can leaders proactively and positively accommodate this?
Yeah, I kind of hit, you know, point two a little bit in part one, but I want to expand on it, because point two is this, Scott. If leaders are going to attract the best, they need to offer flexibility and adaptability. Now, it's all about flexibility and adaptability. Leaders need to empower their teams to choose the work setup that suits them best, whether that's in the office or that's fully remote or hybrid or whatever. You got to figure that out. And if you're like, well, it's my way or the highway, this is how things are done. Well, if your people that are working for you think that they could actually be more efficient in a hybrid situation or offline, well, then you really ought to listen to them, because if they think that, Scott, somebody else is probably going to think that, and you're not going to create an environment where anybody wants to work for you. So what I do is I encourage open dialogue, right? With the leaders that I work with, I say, you know, you got to help your people, talk to them, talk about the preferences that provide necessary resources for every different scenario, right? Because this flexibility is going to increase employee engagement, and then it's going to help your retention, right? And that's crucial for attracting the best talent. And so how often really do we talk about people, you know, being given the space to be creative? Scott, we want creative people. And so the problem is most people get to their job every day and they don't want to be there. And, you know, one attitude to have regarding that is to say to yourself, well, you know, if they don't like it, then they can go somewhere else. But that's not leadership. That's management. Leaders find a way to help people want to be a part of their culture. So the question, Scott, for our listeners is, for our leaders is, you know, are you creating flexibility and adaptability? And when we talk about flexibility, this is what we mean. There needs to be a need for people to figure out the best way for them to be productive. Does that mean that your company needs you to be there 5 days a week or even more? I don't know. All jobs are different. And Scott, all the jobs I've ever had, they needed me to be there 5 days a week and sometimes longer, right? I mean, you know that I've been both in ministry as a pastor, and I've been a coach for my entire adult life. And so both of those jobs are about programming. So what do I mean by that? It means that, for instance, as a pastor, people go to church and they go on Sunday. And so what do we do on Monday morning? Well, we have to debrief what happened on the weekend. And so it's that simple. As a coach, we have competitions. And after the competition, what do you have to do? You have to debrief the competition. So you're in the same kind of industry that I am. And it's about program. You, Scott, you have to be there for the things that you do, right? And so when you are doing what you're doing out there, leaders, whatever you're doing, do you need your people actually to be there 5 days a week? Or can they do some of the stuff that they need to get done at home? Because trust me, there's a lot of jobs and there's more coming where people are going to be able to not have to be there 5 days a week. And I know people don't like to hear this because we always put productivity with actually, you know, stamping a time clock. And yet again, in the industries that you're in, and again, all the industries I've ever been in, that's what it's like. And Scott, I don't mind being there 5 or 6 days a week. That's what I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many sports coaches do you know that can do their job virtually? I mean, you can if you have to, right? During COVID, again, some coaches got COVID and they had to stay away, but that wasn't productive as if they were there, because that's how sports coaching is. But what if you're a computer programmer? What if you're somebody who does some kind of training at your company and you think, well, I can do this. My boss can have me do this virtually. You leaders need to talk to your people and help them be flexible so that you can make everything that you do better. Because Scott, really, the question we have to ask is, you know, what does it mean for us to get stuff done, whether it's in the office or whether it's in a hybrid sense?
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, just like you, you know, my job really requires me to come in. And there's a large chunk of my job that physically I have to do. But then additionally, on top of that, I miss out on some good opportunities for mentorship if I don't show up to work. And like you said, sometimes it's 5 days a week, sometimes it's six, sometimes it's 7 days a week. So
yeah, you're right. Yeah. And Scott, you know, that's why you and I really started talking a lot more, right? Because, you know, your job just isn't about, you know, fixing people, even though that's part of what you do on the competition field. You know, now you just mentioned, you see your life as a deeper calling, right? And you don't help people just on the field or on the court or around that, but you want to help them in all aspects of life, right? And really that bleeds into the virtual piece of what I'm talking about, because, well, when you actually have to fix somebody physically, you know, you have to be there. But then somebody might say, hey, Scott, I've got a question. Scott, we talk about this all the time. People say, Scott, I've got a question about this. And you're like, well, I've got to run, but give me a call or we can Zoom or whatever. You see, like, that's what I'm talking about, leaders. You can be effective both in person and virtually. And so, Scott, all of my clients pretty much that I talk to now, they're all virtual for coaching when I do life coaching. I can run a seminar, I can run a training, I can do all these things online and don't have to be directly in front of people. Now, if I can be directly in front of people, that's great, but that's just going to cost them more money. So sometimes I say, why don't we just do this virtually? And so, yeah, the first option for leaders, and you said that, right, to have influence is to be face-to-face and, you know, be in person. But now life has shifted over the past few years, that now we have the opportunity to expand our reach. And leaders, that's what you need to do. Expand your reach. So again, are you being flexible and adaptable in the way that you can and should be doing your job? So Scott, here's an exercise for you and our listeners and even for me. What part of your job is the in-person kind of stuff and what part is virtual? And so what I mean is this, leaders need to write this down. What percentage of time do you have to actually be there with people? And what percentage do you not need to actually be in front of them? There's a percentage there somewhere, give or take, right? I mean, yeah, it could change from day to day. But if you say in a given week, Scott, you know, when you are there helping people, fixing them physically, what percentage is that? And then now, what percentage is it that kind of time where you can do the virtual stuff, right? Because I'll bet you, and I know this actually for a fact, because Scott, you and I have been on this journey for a couple of years now, you are slowly moving more of a percentage to where you can be virtual. And leaders, that's what I'm talking about. You can figure this out and look and say, what's the percentage in my life? Because you might think that you only need to go into the office a couple times a week, but if your people are there all week, well, then you need to be there, right? And leaders, you need to figure out who on your team do you need to be there and who on your team doesn't need to be there all the time. And it's different for everybody. So where do they need you and where do you need your people?
Yeah, I think that's really a great point, Mo. Sorry, I was having some mic trouble there for a second. but I really do like that idea. It got me so excited, I hit my mute button. But of writing things down. And that's so critical. It's a great opportunity to journal. I'm a huge pros and cons list, but being able to actually write down what can you do virtually? Because even thinking in my head right now, kind of like what you said, yes, a bulk of my aspect of my job requires me to be there. But at the same time, there are things that I can do virtually. There are definitely things that I could do from a different location than my office. And so, like I said, great opportunity to write things down. You're always telling me to journal. And so, again, great thing to journal about.
Yeah. So. And really, Scott, that takes us really into the third and final point, which is leaders, you need to embrace technology. And what Scott's talking about there is a perfect lead-in into that last point, because technology is the backbone of remote work, right, Scott? I mean, because you're virtual now, you can do these things. You can talk to somebody at a different location. You can talk to other people in your same field, and you don't have to be in person anymore. You don't even have to, you can be on the phone, but you can be on Zoom, whatever. It can be virtual. So leaders have to ensure that their teams have access to these secure systems, collaborative tools, effective communication platforms, whatever it is, because providing a seamless and remote work experience, not only, Scott, is going to attract top talent, but it also enables them to be productive and efficient regardless of location. And that's the important part. Because remember, the baby boomers are retiring, and they're retiring in droves, and they're being replaced with people who understand technology. Not that, you know, not all baby boomers don't understand technology, but I mean, let's face it, as you and I, you know, Scott, we're the old guys now, right? There's a lot of young people entering the workforce. And as I mentioned above, it's important to just know the things to do, as simple as virtual calls, Zoom, Google Meet, whatever it is in between, and how to collaborate online, which collaborating online is a lot different than doing it in person. So you have to be able to understand this technology. Don't just pass it off. You need to learn it if you're in the workplace. And so, in fact, Scott, talking about young people, if you have young people on your team, you should be learning from them as much or probably more than they're learning from you. And it's a privilege to speak into the lives of young people as a coach and a pastor in my entire career. And yes, I want to pass on good values and principles to them, but if I want to grow, I need to learn from them. And technology is really one of those places where I can literally just sit and learn from young people. And so when your people, leaders, see that you want to learn from them, of course they're going to want to follow you. Remember what Maxwell said in 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. He said, Scott, you have to make the connection before people will buy into your vision. Mm. And so are you the kind of leader that people want to follow? You see, the reason that I ask this question to our listeners is that, you know, specifically on our podcast, is that a lot of leaders out there want people to follow them, but they don't want to continue to learn themselves. And that's one of those areas that I'm saying you can't do that, leaders. Leaders are always learning. If you're not good at technology, this is a great place for you to learn. And so you're going to get better, and your people are going to see you get better. And then they're going to say, man, I really want to follow this leader, because they might not be as good as I am as a young person at technology, but hey, they're learning. And so how are you learning? And really the question is, here's a great one, Scott. Are you using technology in the right way? And Scott, you just said, and I know we talk about this a lot, you don't have a big digital footprint. You're just like, man, I don't want to be online if I don't have to. You know, I've got a family. I got to do all these things. I don't have time. And Scott, that's a great way to look at it, because, you know, we have to really put the right amount of time in the right amount of things. And so leaders, if you're trying to do that, what kind of effort are you doing at least to stay up on the latest trends? Because Scott, I know you do that, right? And it's important for the young people that you influence, because they expect you to be able to talk to them and meet with them virtually on Zoom or Google Meet or whatever it is. And so you continue to learn. And I appreciate that about you, Scott. And so for our leaders out there, what is the most important thing for you to do in this? And here it is. It's a continual state of learning, because if you learn, people are going to want to adapt in the same way, and they're going to want to be like you. They're going to do, Scott, the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Man, what a way to kind of close out there. And it's But it's clear that leaders who look and embrace that remote work are flexible in that, and kind of breed those flexible cultures. And then, but just also, like you said, invest in technology and invest in the right ways are just going to be better positioned to attract and retain the best possible talent in the changing landscape that is the workforce these days. Right. And so, Mo, before we kind of close out for good here, so what are your final thoughts for today?
Yeah. Thanks for that, Scott. And, you know, leaders, remember this. If you want the best people, if you want to attract the best, you're going to need to continue to change with the times. If you have stuff that you can let your people do remotely, give them that autonomy. Let them show you how good they are. And trust me, they will surprise you. But more importantly, they're going to surprise themselves. And always remember this, reward those who do well and get rid of the people who refuse to get on board and make the changes with you. And if you make these changes, it's only going to be helping them and the company, because this is the kind of work that people are expecting to do today. So, you know, they'd rather be home or on the move or whatever. And as a leader, I don't care. I just want to get things done. So leaders, why don't you just learn to do both? That's the true mark of leadership.
Man, that was a solid final thought for us here. So
thanks, man. Don't want to let you down.
Well, everyone, and with that, that brings us to the end of this episode. If you guys enjoyed listening today, we encourage you to rate, review, and subscribe, and don't forget to share. Thank you all for joining us today. We'll see you all next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Rising Tide Leadership Podcast. Highlights and resource links are available for you in the show notes. We hope that you will join us next time as we continue on the leadership journey. Don't forget to like and subscribe so you don't miss out, and share with others so they don't miss out. See you next time.